Up. Hope you guys are having a great Tuesday. Like we are here efforting Brian Munson right now, HuskerLine.com. So as soon as we have him, we do have him.
Yeah, I got him.
There it is. Bring him on. Let's bring Brian him on, Munson. Man. Let's not wait. Brian, happy Tuesday, my friend.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I know. It's that app. You're like, oh, those guys from ESPN are calling. Nope. Not doing it.
He's avoiding us.
That was definitely not me today.
Oh, how's it going on a Tuesday?
It's great, man. Obviously, I think the class is going in a positive direction. I think people are seeing that now with the Torres commitment. I think that if people have gotten over there to see our big board this morning on the defensive side of the football, that there's been some good adjustments over there to let people know or feel a little bit more confident in the direction of the class. And I think that Nebraska, for only having another two commitments in the class since the start of June, I think things are really going in the right direction overall.
And if you guys don't know, so Brian's been doing this at Husker Online, and you've been doing Nebraska recruiting since, what, like 1999?
Yes. There. Go ahead and make me feel older than I already do. Like, yeah, that's 22 years this year. Yeah.
Wow, congrats, man. That's awesome. By the way, I'm in that older group too as well, so they make me feel that way all the time, especially my esteemed co-host and producer over there who is half my age.
Yeah. You've been doing it my whole life.
My knees and ankle weren't enough that I got that to happen then on the side too. I reminded like when my start date was.
Will just brought up you've been doing Nebraska recruiting his whole life.
I'm 22 years old, yeah.
So since you were a zygote, I have been covering this, right?
Wow.
That's awesome. Hey, Brian, so let's go back. Like, I love that what you're talking about, but the class and where it's headed. Going back a few days ago, you get the Ohio State transfer, Tyreek Johnson, man. Former five-star, I think, ranked 14th nationally, coming to town. Loved what Nebraska, the energy and stuff like that. Give me some takeaways from that, because we know what we have on one side. You have lockdown Cam Taylor Britt, Cam Juice on one side. And the other side, you're kind of not questioning a little bit, but you've got Newsom, Clark, and some others. Give me some takeaways when we got word that Tyreek Johnson is coming to town.
Yeah, big get. Big body guy, physical guy. I think a player that just kind of went on to Ohio State and maybe got kind of lost in the shuffle with the coaching changes in the back end of that defense. And that happened. It's happened at Nebraska. We've had people wanting to know, like, what's going on with wide receiver. Well, take a look and see what's happened with the coaching staff of wide receiver since people came to town. There's been changes. And it happened, before in other coaching staffs where you just saw continual changes on at some position, whether it's linebacker or just defense in general, and you fall out of favor with a coordinator. It's a very familiar story, but Tyreek is a very talented guy. Sean Callahan has brought up before that there may be a little bit of a foot injury there, but I don't think it's anything that, from a Nebraska perspective, for him to have an offer that was committable, that it was anything that, of course, that they're worried about. And it's pretty big saying that, because as you noted, you have Cam Taylor Britt, which I feel like is vastly underrated. I've read all the preseason stuff, and where they have their top cornerbacks returning in 2022. I think Cam Taylor Britt was like somewhere around 25. I was like, what?
Wow, that's incredible.
I know, right? And the kid is just so amazing over there. And the defense got better week over week last season. And now you're looking for a guy to take a spot. And I think Boodle played incredible last year as well. And now you're looking for a guy to kind of step in and take some pressure off some of the younger guys. They have talent at the cornerback position. They just don't have a lot of time at that position. So you bring a guy like Johnson from a program like Ohio State, and you want to plug him in, and you want to make sure that he's can go over there and be capable of kind of locking down the other side of the football field. If they do this, if this works, this is a huge improvement going into next season, at least checking off maybe like that one area of concern that, of course, that you had.
Yeah, and Brighton, what I've read is too, you know, he's coming into a group that's full, but he could maybe play a different position. Could you see him doing that?
I absolutely could. I mean, there were some people on the Ohio State site that I was reading a little bit about him, just trying to, you know, you go to the source. You know, I went over to Buckeye Grove and I watched a guy's video, and there were some people that kind of felt like maybe he was a little bit out of position. Maybe he was more of a true safety than he is a cornerback. With 3 years of eligibility, I think that Nebraska is obviously looking for a guy. I think for right now, the need is at corner. You know, you bring back two very capable safeties. So I think that that's not necessarily an issue there. You're really looking for that guy opposite Britt. So I think that that's a possibility, depending on whenever he gets there. And you got Joseph still at the other cornerback spot that is kind of stepping up his game a little bit on the special team side. You hope maybe some more things are clicking for him, you know, over the summer and can be a little bit more of a factor. But if you're running a Johnson, Taylor Britt, Joseph kind of rotation down to your nickel, I think Nebraska have to feel very good about that.
We're speaking to Brian Munson, HuskerOnline.com. Brian, yesterday you get your quarterback, number one on your board for quarterback 2022, Richard Torres out of San Antonio, Texas. Give me your thoughts. Obviously, there's video, there's tape, all that good stuff. When you do this, give me your thoughts on him. Also, when I say this, because we've had people call in and talk about, well, quarterback, whatever. But what's your opinion on when you get your number one guy, if he's number one on your board, whatever what position it is, you feel pretty good, right? You get number one, that's it, locked up, done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's where it kind of came down to for Nebraska. I'm sure that there were some other guys that were out there in the 2022 class that a little bit pipe dream, you know, you want to call it or whatever. When things boil down to this 2022 class, I think people are going to come back to Nebraska getting their guys. This is their profile. This is it deals with the rankings. The rankings are probably part of it, but Nebraska has shown, you know, that the rankings this year don't mean as much to them. And I think that based on where we're kind of seeing some guys getting adjustments as late as June, and some guys that are getting offers now from some pretty big schools, COVID has been a huge impact. But getting back to Torres, Torres is has a huge frame and he has a bigger arm. He has a lot of film last season that shows him running for his life, where he doesn't have any offensive line help. And I think two of the first three throws shows a perfectly placed football that gets dropped by his receiver. His stats probably double, if not triple, if some of those things get caught. And if he's not running around for his life, which indicates, you know, that I think he's a better athlete than some people are saying. Like, you know, like I think that they feel like a kid's got to run a 4.4 to be a dual threat. No, you really don't. You've got to be able to mix that in there and just be able to be a little bit more strategic about it. You don't need to be able to run the triple option and whatever and get outside and do something like Tommy or Eric Crouch. It's not that way. You've got to pick your holes right. You've got to pick the right down and distance, the right field position, and you've got to be effective. You know, you've got to be effective just running the football and keeping those linebackers a little bit closer, which will open the middle of the field, which is something that Nebraska was showing very much in the spring game with Martinez and Harburg and so on, that they would do that little inside draw, and it was going to have to keep the linebackers down closer to the line of scrimmage to make sure those guys weren't picking up 6, 7, 8 yards a pop. So I think as long as Torres can show that he's capable of doing that, and he's a really tall, long, tough kid, he shows that too. He doesn't go down on the first hits, and he's able to run around and stretch out plays. What he has is he has incredible touch. He has a strong arm. He has a way to kind of throw it to space. He keeps his eyes downfield incredibly well. And those are all the things, of course, that I think Nebraska has to see in him as well. I like the fact that you're getting another guy into the room that didn't look like the previous two or three that were there before Harburg got there. This is more of a Harburg-looking 6'5"-ish guy, and I think Nebraska has to feel good about that.
Yeah, we're talking to Brian Munson, and I'm curious, Brian, you know, throughout the 22 years you've been doing this, what's your approach to analyzing recruits and, you know, managing the excitement level? Because we've all got excited for you know, high star recruits coming in here that just didn't pan out. So, like, how did you learn from that? And, you know, with Torres, how do you manage your excitement level with him?
Yeah, that is an interesting point, right? Because you're going to have to wait a little bit of time for Torres, obviously. I mean, even if things break down next year to where it's just Smothers and Harburg, you're dealing with basically two kind of freshmen, redshirt freshmen, next spring that are kind of trying to compete and win that job with Martinez leaving. So you've got to be patient with Torres. You're hoping though that you see this guy flash and you get the positive kind of remarks out of practices, and it's like that's the thing that you really, really are hoping to kind of see over the next couple 3 years with him before and you have to see that he's understanding it and getting it and grasping it. You're going to get it in the spring games. You're going to get it in some scrub time. You're going to get it here and there. And it's going to have to all kind of come together, but he's going to have to kind of be brought along whenever they can kind of bring him along. So that's the part though that Nebraska has to be diligent about when it comes to his development.
Hey Brian, I think this is interesting because I've asked everyone this because I feel like for me as the sitting all out here, I've seen an evolution of recruiting for Nebraska in the last just under the Frost regime right now, and what I mean by that is the size and shape of each position. Going back, obviously, you looked at Wandell and you seen J.D. Spielman, their size, they left. But they replaced them with different dudes. And Omar Manning or Samari Toure in the size of those guys. You look at quarterback, you had McCaffrey leave. You had that, right? And then now you get Harburg and Torres both standing really tall. You look at offensive line, that size and shape has changed. Have you seen that as well?
Yes, absolutely. I think Nebraska has felt they've got to get a little bit more in line with the kind of punishment that Big Ten has, this Big Ten schedule, you know, gives to a team, to a squad, and they have to start administering that as opposed to taking it. And they've gotten larger at all the positions, in my opinion. And I think that says a lot about the way that they've tried to recruit, the way they're trying to develop these guys. You know, that was one of the things that Torres, interesting story from this last weekend. Torres said he turned the corner and he like ran into the chest of like Bryce Benhart and he couldn't get over the size of Benhart. And then Benhart comes around the corner and he's got Prochazka and Corcoran. And he was like, you know, he's like the team I roll with down in San Antonio, he's like, I ride with them. And he said, but my offensive line has me running for my life, you know, most nights. And he said, but that's my team. And he said, seeing guys like that at Nebraska, he was like, I really started to feel really good about the type of protection and the type of guys they're putting in front of me and around me. So I think Nebraska has done a terrific job. They've had to beef up and change things on the defensive side of the football as well. They've gotten these monster four technique, Ty Robinson, Tate Wildeman, Casey Rogers guys. They've had some monsters at the nose. The 3-4 requires you to look a little bit different up front. And then they're also remaking or redoing the inside linebacker position under Rude. I think that they know that they can't go traditional kind of inside 3-4 A to C guy. They need a little bit more athletic, longer track guy to kind of go in there in that space that's able to kind of get, you know, use those guys up front to eat up blockers and that have the capability of making plays. And I think the outside linebacker is the next position that has to get a real look. But those guys, they're so tough to get. Caleb Tanner was a huge get for Nebraska two or three years ago. And those guys just aren't everywhere. And when they are everywhere, everybody wants them. Like, think about who Nebraska had to beat to get Tanner to come to Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Those were schools that were right in his backyard, and he decided to go hundreds of miles away to go to college. So It's an incredible competition, and Nebraska lost a couple guys last year too, you know, with Schweiger and they went different schools. When you miss out on those guys at outside linebacker, it sets you behind, and Nebraska's behind anyway when it comes to kind of keeping the talent going in there, and the guys that you want to have look how they look in the 2-point walk down 3-4 outside linebacker look. you know, you want that 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", guy that's running on the 4'6" off the edge and just comes back, pins his ears back, and gets after the quarterback. And those guys aren't everywhere to be found.
We're talking to Brian Mutson, recruiting analyst for HuskerOnline.com. And Brian, if there's a trend that, you know, it's kind of alarming in the past few seasons, it's more Nebraska talent leaving the state. And, you know, in your opinion, why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think winning has something to do with it. I think that there's a couple guys that are there in the state currently that don't have a lot of ties or don't have that being born in the state kind of draw that you get with a couple other players from being there. You know, I think that's tough to work around. It's a series of bad things that are happening all at one time for Nebraska in this class, because you've got a really talented group. And you got a group here that doesn't feel the connection back to the state or the school. I think that there's some of this stuff is kind of manufactured, and I hate kind of saying that. I think that there's some feeling that they're being overlooked, or maybe not getting the right or full attention, or maybe they've got somebody else that's telling them about how things have happened up to that point and that they should feel the same exact way and go look out of state. Whatever it is, the players need to make the best decision for themselves. And if it leads into out of the state, I think Nebraska is the first school, Scott Frost in particular, that would tell those guys, this is your decision. You need to make the decision about what's best for you. That's what he told Chase Androff when Androff was going to commit. He sent Androff home and said, think about it. Sit back there and think about it, and then call me if you think that this is the right thing to do. I don't think that kind of guidance would change. With an in-state kid that's leaning towards going out of state, I think Nebraska would want them to stay in state if they fit into the class. But I think more than that, I think Nebraska is more interested in the recruit doing what's right for the recruit based on the information that's at hand. Yeah. So I think that there's a couple things that are happening behind the scenes there with those guys, but some of that stuff's a little bit more upfront, just not being from the area originally, and that hurts Nebraska in the long run there with that guy.
And, you know, maybe it's getting in early on these guys, and we're kind of seeing that as, you know, Daniel Kalin, he's that quarterback up at Bellevue West. He had Florida State and Nebraska, but Arizona State actually just tagged an offer to him as well. What do you know about this kid? Is this kind of a guessing game, or do you think these guys actually see something in Kalin?
He's an incredible athlete. I mean, I saw his film. The name was pretty new, and I got Sean pinging me like at 9:30 that night that Nebraska was offering a guy that had played very little varsity, mainly junior varsity, and that Florida State had already offered him too. And I'm going, the recruiting that happens with quarterbacks is unlike any other position out there, right? The position the recruiting has started and has been keeps moving left as the kid is earlier on in their development, earlier on in their high school playing days, that they're getting offers from some of these big time Division I schools. I don't think 5 years ago we were even talking about this guy for another year or so, and that's just the lay of the land. And I think a lot of that still is COVID related. All these colleges have had to figure out a different process in which to kind of evaluate players, because they haven't been able to get out there and put boots on the ground and let them go check the guys out during the evaluation periods. So they've had their noses into the huddle and online and watching these kids' highlight tapes. And I'm sure that if he wanted to try to make a phone call to Nebraska or Florida State and try to commit, it'd probably be like one of those things like, okay, let's slow our roll here a little bit. We like you. But I just don't think that if there was any type of like letter of intent that could be signed at any point, I think it'd be a challenge for him to go ahead and get a letter of intent to sign today with any school. It is kind of betting on the come, and it's trying to encourage it and build that relationship. But setting it out on the right foot, you want to build that relationship now over the next year and a half or so, when the kid really gets in that pocket of wanting to go ahead and having to pick out a school.
Hey, Brian, I thought something was really interesting. Obviously, Nebraska, you know, dead period over, camps are going, plethora of visitors, and you start hearing stuff like, love the visit, the energy at Nebraska, the direction of Nebraska, it's my code number one, my top visit, it's incredible. You hear all that great stuff. What is it right now that you're starting to hear all that? I know we've heard it before, but you're hearing it from multiple kids. I know you've talked to them after their visits and during and all that stuff. What is it about Nebraska now that we're hearing multiple people say this?
I think Nebraska is one of those schools that shines the brightest when you get players on campus, and I would even say that one step further. Nebraska's real recruiting advantage is when they're able to bring in a kid for a game day visit. Now, what Nebraska's is doing is the playing field has been leveled. You're having to work within the construct of what's going on with the NCAA, and really June is like the big month. So everybody knows that they can't have a game during the month of July or June. So therefore, you have to kind of sell all these other kids on these behind the scenes processes and things of like your life skills and your nutritionist and, you know, Zach Duvall standing up and talking about the technology that they have in strength and conditioning. This is a really, really interesting area here, because I think Nebraska typically is able to go ahead and say they win these types of visits, you know, mm-hmm. over and over and over again when kids come in, and this is what they have to kind of compare. Hayes, for example, Ashton Hayes goes out to Cal Berkeley. Is there really a reason why Nebraska should beat Cal here? Because, you know, Cal is one of those incredible academic schools, but yet he comes back and goes, Nebraska one-upped them at every turn. Mm-hmm. And you're going, well, yeah, but it's football. Well, was it? There wasn't a game, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, it was a football visit, but you're still kind of basing it on the framework of what happens with a student athlete during the year, during a game. But that's all kind of like down the road. You're not seeing it. So I think Nebraska is going to compare very, very well here, because they've just got this structure that's in place, and it has success. They can go back and point at the team GPA. They can point at the academic All-Americans, and they can point like to the new business school, like where Tyler Martin was just blown away, and that was a kid that was committed to Michigan. So I think that Nebraska is going to compare very well right now during this month, because it's really about everything else other than just like the actual game day environment, and Nebraska still wins there. So I think this is a really, really interesting time for Nebraska to bring guys in.
We're talking to Brian Mutson, who is nailing his debut on the Morning Hookup.
Yeah, he is.
You know, you look at the team right now, and with the addition to the Ohio State guy, you know, how many scholarships do we have, and, you know, what's kind of next for the team?
Yeah, and that's the part that gets really tough to kind of understand and comprehend here. So the word out of the camps and the visits this weekend was that Nebraska is really kind of struggling to figure out how many kids they can even get into the 2022 class. Part of that reason is because they don't know who's going to choose to return, you know, in the fall or after that, like with this extra year of eligibility. They don't know how the NCAA wants basically or would guide, you know, Nebraska on how to like backfill like a Damarian Houston. How do you go back and get credit on guys that are transferring out? And really, does that go more towards another class, or how do you kind of go back and get, you know, how do you build your roster from here? And I think that the idea here, and from talking to the recruits that I did this weekend, and particularly like a Vince Genitone, who came in for like an individual workout on Friday and just tore it up. And I think that would have been really kind of an offer like on the site, you know, like just like right there, like right here, right now, you get an offer because of how you performed. I think any other year that happens, but this year it doesn't, just because they don't know. And I think that the I'm hearing such a wide variance from the class could literally be as small as like 14 or 15 players, but it could be as large as 28 players. And I think that that's what Nebraska is literally working with. But at the same time, some of the words that I've heard this weekend from like the staff to the recruits have been, Nebraska acknowledges the fact that they are incredibly young, and they don't really feel a need to kind of get out of whack here with keeping lending itself to being young and staying young. They need some space to kind of happen naturally between the classes. And so they don't want to just offer anybody. They don't just have a guy come in to take a roster spot. They need a dude. They need a dude that's going to come in and really be a player for them. So that's number one. But number two, it's like they don't know how many dudes they can add just because they don't have real good clarity yet from the NCAA on kind of how to manage their roster.
Hey, Brian, one more before I get chattery, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us and continue this journey with us. How far, in your opinion, did the Kevin Warren in the Big Ten put us back in the recruiting side?
Wow.
I mean, I think that's astronomical.
It's tough to kind of sum that one up right now. You know, I know that he's got a bashing section right now that I've been part of, you know, not led, but I've been like, yeah, that's a dumb decision. I thought there'd been a lot of dumb decisions so far. And I think that it's set Nebraska behind another good 12 to 18 months. I mean, here we are uncovering guys that Nebraska, you know, probably should have known about a year ago. Probably would have had offers by now. Nebraska is still sitting only on four guys, and that's improved. The class has doubled in 2 weeks. And still Nebraska, you know, is only probably a quarter of the way towards her class at a minimum, you know? And it's just, it's so tough to kind of summarize all of that where you're kind of at, because we know where Nebraska is at with the guys they brought in. And now all of a sudden you take a look still and you add the NCAA to on top of that with Warren even too, with the extension of the dead periods, you know, and how things are going to kind of be managed going forward. I told somebody this last night and I fully believe it. I think the 2022 class is going to have as much, if not more, struggles with COVID and the fallout of COVID than the 2021 class did.
Wow.
And I think it has a lot to do with this roster management thing and these teams not knowing how to get back down to 85 or how they're supposed to make their roster work and how they're supposed to kind of work that back with the NCAA. I think there's still a lot of things that we're trying to figure out now heading into the really the heart of the summer.
Well, Brian, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us, man, and looking forward to every Tuesday with you around this time. So have a great Tuesday and a great rest of your week, sir.
That sounds great. Sorry, guys, for the original call and not answering you before.
No, you're good, man. We appreciate you. Brian Munson, yep. Brian Munson right there, HuskerOnline.com. Every Tuesday, 10:15. That was awesome stuff.
That was great.
We'll get that podcast up. You guys can take a peek at it, take a listen. So, but we got to get out of here. It's Tuesday. We'll catch you on a hump day.